million Americans, about 18% of the population. It's even more prevalent among our adolescents. Some 38% of girls, 28% of boys struggle with anxiety. According to Google, the number of searches for the term anxiety have doubled in the past 5 years. Anxiety is also linked to depression. 50% of people who struggle with anxiety also suffer from depression. And over the last 10 years, feelings of hopelessness, feelings of anxiety have jumped 71% among 18 to 25-year-olds. Major depression has doubled during that time. And tragically, suicide has also climbed 56% during that time. And not even pastors are immune. As we saw this last week, Jared Wilson, pastor at a Harvest Christian Church, also a writer, also an advocate for mental health, he tragically died by suicide this past week on Monday. Other behaviors related to depression have impacted our hospitals, admissions for self-harm like cutting, suicidal thoughts, and suicidal attempts. You start thinking about the symptoms of anxiety. Maybe some of us are experiencing this very morning. Symptoms like restlessness and fatigue, difficulty concentrating, irritability, muscle tension, and then the more extreme versions of heart palpitations and sweating, shortness of breath, and feelings of impending doom. And there are all kinds of treatments out there today for these struggles, things like psychotherapy and medication, magnetic stimulation and support groups, stress management technique, and no doubt many of those techniques are helpful to people. But I think many experts have overlooked the biblical treatment for anxiety. We're going to see that right here in Philippians chapter 4, what Paul shares about steps to dealing with our anxiety. In October 2011, Hall of Fame basketballer Jerry West wrote a book called West by West, My Charmed, Tormented Life. Rather than highlighting all his accomplishments during his wonderful career, what he did is he decided to write about his struggles. Wrote about his struggles with anxiety and depression. He was called Mr. Clutch for his ability to deal with stress in game situations. And he's also the individual after which that NBA logo is patterned. So you have Mr. Clutch here, but he's struggling. Game day tension for him became so extreme that life became almost unbearable for Jerry West. Listen to how one of his biographers describes his early days on the court. As he gained more confidence and took on more responsibility, West became racked by incredible tension. He would become a pacing, nervous animal each game day, with tension building moment by moment until he was absolutely beside himself with anxiety over his coming performance. It was a condition that threatened to take down his legacy before it ever got started. Think like Jerry West. Millions of people struggle with anxiety. Even the people who we think would never struggle with this. So if you're secretly struggling with anxiety and depression today, this morning, you're not alone. You're not alone in your struggle. As many have experienced, as I've experienced in my own life, it is another one of those joy stealers. Anxiety is something that steals our joy. So from Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 through 9, we're going to learn this life-changing truth. God gives us joy when we cast all our anxiety on Him. God gives us joy when we cast all our anxiety on Him. Looks like our back screen is out there, Daniel. You could help me out with that. Thank you. All right. I think Paul gives us three steps to help us overcome anxiety. Again, there's no magical formula. This is a deep, complex struggle that many people are going through. But I think Paul gives us some steps to help us with this struggle in life. He tells us how to replace anxiety with joy. The first step is to present the prayer. To present the prayer. Look with me at verse 6, Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Are you feeling anxious? Paul says to pray, to present your requests to God. Now, it sounds so cliche, doesn't it? It sounds like a simple answer for a very complex issue. But I think that's because of our misunderstanding about what prayer is. Let's stop and think about who's writing this. Paul. Remember the context of this letter. Paul is in chains in Rome for faithfully preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Paul is out awaiting the outcome of a trial that may well lead to his execution. You talk about worry and fear and stress in his life. And really his entire ministry was full of stress that could induce anxiety in his life. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He chronicles all these troubles and trials there. I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in dangers from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled. I've often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. You talk about stress. You talk about worry and fear and difficulties and trials in life. Paul knows a thing or two about anxiety. Okay? So when he says to pray, we need to take his instruction, take his admonition to heart this morning. He understands what it's like to go through a very stressful life. And again, what makes our prayer as an answer so cliche is our misunderstanding of it. It's not an easy solution. It's not a magical formula by any means. Let me share this. One scholar defines anxiety in prayer as follows. Anxiety is an attempt to carry the burden of the present and the future oneself. Prayer is yielding it to and leaving it in the safe hands of God. Let me repeat that one more time. Anxiety is an attempt to carry the burden of the present and the future oneself. Prayer is yielding it to and leaving it in the safe hands of God. So prayer, petition, thanksgiving, these are all synonymous for prayer. And prayer is worship. Prayer is genuine worship. It's trusting fully in a God who is great. Trusting fully in a God who is good and glorious and gracious. Putting all our trust in Him. A God who is never anxious. A God who is sovereign. A God who is King of the world in complete control of every single situation that we're involved in. Prayer is worship of Him in the splendor of His majesty. He is infinitely loving, infinitely wise, infinitely powerful to work in our lives. So what we do in prayer is we bring ourselves before God, we bring our attitudes and our heart before God, and we examine our dependence on Him. We need to give ourselves in complete dependence to Him. And Paul speaks of petition. This speaks of sharing your needs, sharing your struggles and your difficulties with God and placing them in His hands. That's what Peter urges us to do in 1 Peter chapter 5, where he says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you." Prayer is also thanksgiving. Just stopping and remembering how God has been at work in your life in the past, which then gives us confidence that He will continue to work on our behalf in the future. And it's not just that, but it's thanking God for the trials, thanking God for the difficulties and the suffering, knowing that He's working for our good, which is to mold us into the image of Jesus Christ. And He's also working for His great glory in this world. That's why James says, "Consider it pure joy, when you face trials of many kinds, because they make you mature and complete in the Christian life. The Minnesota storyteller Kevin Kling was born with a birth defect. His left arm was disabled, much shorter than his right arm. And then in his early 40s, he was in a terrible motorcycle accident and totally ruined his good right arm and became incapacitated on that side of his body. And when he was recovering in the hospital, he learned a very valuable lesson about thankfulness. Let me share it in his own words. He says this, "I've been through many surgeries during my 6 week stay in the hospital. And each day I would ride the elevator to the ground floor and try to take a walk. That was my job. 9/11 had happened the week before, and as our country was entering trauma, I was living one. After my walk, my wife Mary and I went to the gift shop. She asked me if I wanted an apple. I hadn't tasted food for over a month. So I said no, but she persisted, come on, try it. So finally I said, all right. And I took a bite. And for some reason, on that day, it was the first day the flavor returned and powerful sweetness rushed from the apple. Oh, it was incredible. I started to cry for the first time in years. The tears flowed, and as the anesthesia and antibiotics flushed through my tears, it burned my eyes. And between the sweetness of that apple and the burning of my tears, it felt so good to be alive. I blurted out, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this life. And that's when my prayer shifted again to giving thanks. Giving thanks in all things. What are you anxious about this morning? What is it that has you worried and stressed today? Is it related to work? Is it related to children or your health? Or maybe the health of someone you love? Is it about control or the future? It's about a relationship, money, appearance. It's related to safety on a day-to-day basis. You know, there's so many things we can't control. There's so many things we cannot change. So many things we're not responsible for. So with Paul, I urge you to present the prayer. Delight in the grace of God. Rest in that unchanging relationship that you have with Him. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Take each one and put them in the safe hands of God. Name them one by one in prayer and give them over to Him. You'll find out He is so good. He is so loving and He is so very trustworthy to act in our lives. And when we do that, when we present our request to God in confident prayer, that issues in the peace of God. Look with me at verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Peace. Peace. Isn't that what everyone's looking for in this busy and stressful and anxious world? Peace. It's the opposite of anxiety. And God is the true and only source of peace. God makes peace with the sinner through the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says that in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So by faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can have our sins forgiven. And we can receive eternal life from Him. We are justified, declared righteous by God in Christ Jesus. That means all your sins have been forgiven as far as the east is from the west. And you receive the infinite righteousness of Jesus Christ to your account. What an amazing, amazing thing. No longer at war with God. No longer His enemy. Just perfect peace as His beloved child. I wonder this morning, can you say that you have peace with God right now, right here at this very moment? The answer to that question is no. Then I urge you to repent and believe. Repent is admitting that you're a sinner, like we all talked about at the beginning of this introduction. We're all sinners saved by the grace of God. That's where it starts. I'm a sinner. And then we turn away from that sin and we turn to Jesus Christ in faith. We believe. We believe on the death, the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ on our behalf. And we experience peace with God. The Bible says if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. But as many as received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the power, the right to become sons of God, to become children of God. I encourage you, receive Christ today. Are you lacking peace? Come to Him. Come to Him by faith. Rest in Him, and you will experience peace like you've never experienced before. Genuine, eternal, perfect peace that can only come when you're in right relationship with God through Christ. We not only have peace with God through Jesus Christ in salvation, but God continues to give us perfect peace day after day as we walk in this Christian life, which in this series we've seen can be very difficult. We give God our problems, and then He gives us His perfect peace. And what an exchange. We're getting the good end of that deal, aren't we? We give God all our problems, and God gives us His perfect peace. Absolutely amazing. Peace, that inner sense of calm, a tranquility of soul, a contentment in God that can only come from Him. And the reason it transcends all understanding is because the normal human response when we face difficult times, when we face troubles, is anxiety. And God gives us that peace. Jesus says this, I have told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. This peace that Jesus gives in times of trouble guards our hearts and our minds. That word guard is a military term, meaning to keep watch over. So back in the first century here, you might remember that Philippi is a Roman colony, which means there was a company of soldiers there keeping watch over the city. You might also remember Paul is in Rome, and he's got a Roman soldier attached to him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So the idea here that Paul is saying is that the God's peace keeps watch over our hearts, keeps watch over our minds every moment of every day. It protects us from anxiety and worry, fear and doubt. It gives us hope, gives us confidence, gives us strength to press on with joy, regardless of our circumstances. Praise God for the peace that only He can give us. So are you struggling with anxiety? Do you want to overcome anxiety in your life this morning? I encourage you, present the prayer. The second step is to ponder the positive. Ponder the positive. Paul's now going to turn to the thought life and challenge the Philippian believers in that area. Look with me at verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You know, we are what we think. A very true statement. You know, negative thoughts produce negative attitudes and negative actions. But the opposite is also true, isn't it? Positive thoughts produce positive attitudes and positive actions in our life. So Paul urges believers, fill your mind, center your thinking on positive things. We can't allow ourselves to go through life constantly focused on the negative. Say that to me. Do you hear that, Dan? Don't go through life constantly focused on the negative. That's so easy for us to do. The movie A Beautiful Mind traces the life of genius mathematician, also a Nobel Prize winner, Bluefield, West Virginia native, John Nash. He struggled terribly with paranoid schizophrenia. And that paranoia climaxed in the early 1950s. While he was a professor at MIT, and he descended into a delusional world, and he was ultimately ended up in an institution where they helped him to diagnose his issues and help to treat them. And eventually he'd return to teaching at Princeton University. There's a scene in that movie, A Beautiful Mind, where Thomas King from the Nobel Prize Committee meets with Nash to assess his mental status. In that conversation, Nash says to King, tongue in cheek, "I am crazy. I am crazy." Then more soberly, "I take the newer medications, but I still see things that are not here. I just choose not to acknowledge them. Like a diet of the mind, I just choose not to indulge certain appetites." You catch that? "Like a diet of the mind, I just choose not to indulge certain appetites." You know, we are what we think, just like we are what we eat. And we have a choice, don't we, of what we chew on, of what we swallow down, of what we digest in this life. So we've got to fill our minds with positive, uplifting thoughts. And I think we need to be careful. We need to be very careful because we're in a culture that promotes this power of positive thinking. But that philosophy is so many times rooted in self-centeredness and is so very much self-focused. But our thinking is to be Christ-centered. That's what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2. "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus." He did what? He put others before himself. He did what? He took on flesh, became a man. He was obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's the mind of the Savior. That's the mind we're to have. And look again with me at verse 8 here and that list. The things we're to think on. Whatever is true. We know that God is truth. So these are the things of God and the things of the Word of God, which is infallible and perfect. We're to think on those things. Whatever is noble, these are things that are worthy of awe and respect. Whatever is right and pure, these are things that are holy. We're to think on these things. Whatever is lovely, the things that are acceptable and pleasing. Whatever is admirable, things that are reputable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I think there's an interesting parallel here between Philippians 4 and Psalm chapter 19, verses 7 through 9. Look with me at the screen. "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous." So the Word of God, the psalmist is writing of the Word of God, and he says the Word of God is perfect. It's trustworthy, it's right, it's radiant, it's pure, it's firm. So what are we to be chewing on? What are we to be taking in? We're to be meditating on the Word of God. We're to be chewing on the greatness of God, the goodness of God, the promises of God, the commands of God as revealed to us in the Scriptures. Maybe it's been a while since you dusted off the cover of the Bible and opened it in a morning devotional time with the Lord. I'd encourage you to get back into that. Don't get discouraged. Don't quit. Think about our eating, right? What do we do when we miss a meal? We don't say, "Oh man, I missed another meal. You know what? I am never, ever, ever going to eat again my entire life." No. We don't do that. What do? We make up for it the next meal. At least that's what your chubby pastor does, right? I make up for it the next meal. So I encourage you, a sure way to overcome anxiety is to have a steady diet of the Word of God, meditating on Him and His promises and His commands. I encourage you, memorize this passage. Memorize this passage if you've never done that before to help you in your struggle with anxiety. Memorize other passages like Matthew 6 where Jesus teaches on worry. John chapter 14, Psalm chapter 34, Romans 8. So many wonderful passages that we can hide in our heart. You want to overcome anxiety in your life? Present the prayer and ponder the positive. Finally this morning, the last step to overcoming anxiety. Practice the principle. Practice the principle. We can't separate right praying and right thinking from right living. Right living. Look with me at verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So Paul has faithfully delivered the truth of the Word of God to the believers at Philippi. Not only has he delivered the truth of the Word, he has also lived out an example before them. That is why we read in the last chapter, Paul says, follow my example as I follow the example of Jesus Christ. So Paul says, follow me. I think sometimes we're guilty of just hearing the Word. I do it too. Hearing the Word week after week. But we're called to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Or as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, and we also thank God continually because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it. You see the difference there. You accepted it. When you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the Word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. So we're to learn the Word, receive it, hear it, and then do what? Put it into practice. Practice the principles of the Word of God. The obedient life is absolutely essential for overcoming anxiety and experiencing the peace of God. I like to call my mom on my way home from work from time to time, trying to be a good son and keep in touch with my mom who lives a long way from here. So I'll give her a call, and I live out in the country. I live in Rock, West Virginia, you know, that metropolis a few miles from here. And I'll get like 10 minutes out of city limits, and then my coverage gets all spotty on me. So, and my mom's so patient with me, my poor mom. I'll call her, and the call will be going in and out, will be cut off. I'll call her back. It's like a perpetual "Can you hear me now?" commercial every time I call my mom on the way home from work. And my proximity to the cell tower affects my cell signal on my phone. And as I meander on out into the country further and further from the tower, the weaker and weaker my signal gets until I lose my signal altogether. And as I think about that, I think about the peace of God. Okay? When we're living in close proximity to God, when we're walking with Him in fellowship day after day, we experience that peace, that deep inner calm, that tranquility of soul. Our hearts and minds are guarded, protected from anxiety. But when we wander further and further away from God, and we start depending on self to deal with our troubles, we see that peace, that inner calm, that contentment start to weaken step by step until we have none at all because we've wandered away from God. Living in fellowship with God and obedience to His Word results in peace. Peace is fruit of the Spirit, which means as you are controlled by the Spirit of God, as you are yielded to Him, you experience the peace of God. Notice Paul refers to God as the God of peace. Interesting play on words here. Paul says the peace of God earlier in the passage. Now he's saying the God of peace. God Himself will be with you. God Himself will rush in to rescue you from fear and worry and doubt in this life. He is the God of peace. As David said, I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. As Paul said, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Or as Jesus said, my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So God gives us joy when we cast all our anxiety on Him. What a beautiful and gracious exchange that God gives us. The first step to overcoming anxiety is to present the prayer. Just stop carrying the burdens of life all by yourself. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Take each worry, each struggle, each doubt, each fear, and bring them into the presence of God one by one. Trust in the sovereign ruler of the universe. He is in complete control of all things. The second step is to overcoming anxiety is to ponder the positive. Consume a steady diet of the Word of God. Contemplate His greatness and His goodness. Contemplate His commands and live in obedience to them. Contemplate all of His goodness and His grace and His promises towards us. And then the final step to overcoming anxiety is to practice the principle. Walk with Him. Walk with Him daily in fellowship. Walk in obedience to the Word. Jesus said, if you love Me, you'll keep My commandments. And if we do that, we'll experience that transcendent peace. A peace that human understanding is unable to completely comprehend. I want to send you out this week with a simple word of encouragement. Pray about everything. Worry about nothing. I'd never say that in my own wisdom, because some of the issues you all are facing are difficult, complex, heartbreaking. But I say this because it's the Word of God. This is what Paul, under inspiration of the Spirit of God, is telling us. Pray about everything. Take everything before God. You don't have to worry about everything, anything. God is on His throne this morning. He's ready to act on your behalf to rescue you from anxiety. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. You're so good to us. You're so gracious, so kind. Thank You for the gospel. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised again on the third day. Thank You for Your grace, grace that saves, the grace we've sung about this morning. I pray for that person who has no peace this morning, who's an enemy of You, who's separated from Your love. Pray that they would humble themselves, see their sin, acknowledge it, and turn away from it and embrace the Savior. Save them today by Your power, the power of Your Spirit. Pray for those of us who struggle with anxiety and depression on a weekly basis. We need You. We need Your peace. We need Your help. Help us to focus on Your Word. Help us to meditate on positive things. Help us in the struggle. Help us to not depend on ourselves. Help us to turn to You in utter dependence. Father, I ask that You'd move in our hearts, change us, replace our anxiety with joy. And we'll give You all the praise, the glory, and honor for that. In Jesus' name, amen.